Welcome to an episode of What Matters in North Carolina. I want to thank all of our listeners out there right here at the top of the show. If you're listening in one of the different apps, whether it's on the Apple system or the Android system, and you already have subscribed to the show, great. You can stop listening for the next 37 seconds. If you are listening on the website, I want to direct you to listen to the show on the apps, whether it's Podcast Addict on the Android system or any of the other Android apps, or whether you're an Apple user using Apple Podcasts. If you're listening on the website, you can get the show to your device directly just by going and searching What Matters in North Carolina on those apps, and you'll be able to find the show there. However, if you are on the airwaves listening to us, and this may be your first time, maybe you've tuned in for a couple weeks, you're listening to the Saturday show, the Sunday show, wherever you're listening to the show, you can go ahead and go online to listen to the website. If you want to listen to past archives of the show, that's freedomactionnetwork.com, or you can go to one of those previous apps I mentioned, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcasts, and you can listen to the show there by subscribing and getting it to your device automatically, or just listening through there. However, if you want to listen to the full archives, you have to do it by going to freedomactionnetwork.com, and there is a lot of great content over there. Also, before we get into our segment with Dr. Bob Lipke, talking about college readiness for our graduating youth, our people coming out of high school, are they ready to go to college, are they ready to go into a career even, we will talk about our sponsors. Yes, this podcast is sponsored. This show is sponsored. If you're listening on the radio, this show is sponsored by the Civitas Institute, which is North Carolina's conservative voice. So to find out more about Civitas Institute, go to nccivitas.org. And without any further ado, we'll get to our segment with Dr. Robert Lipke, who is of the Civitas Institute himself. All right, Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
It is good to be here, Matt.
So tell me what we're talking about today.
Well, actually, considering it's Thanksgiving, I hate to do this, but we're going to talk about a topic, college readiness. And it's a hard topic to talk about this time of year, but it's the reason we're doing it is because it's important. It's important to our kids. It's important to parents. It's important to anyone concerned about North Carolina. So
we're here to talk about college readiness. We're talking about high school seniors and not just seniors, but through the way up through high school graduation, how our state is doing in getting students ready to go to college.
Yeah, it's important because North Carolina's entire educational system is geared towards creating students who are ready for either a four-year or further education or a career in work or another vocation. So it's geared towards either college readiness or career readiness. And they've been very outspoken about that. That's been the case. Those are the values in many respects that have driven Common Core, and that's a stated objective of the State Board of Education, that students should graduate being either ready for post-secondary education or prepared for work. And that's a stated outcome of our educational system, and you know, we need to understand what that is and if we're being effective in doing that.
Okay, so then there's a bunch of different measures we can use, but to that I want to dig into, but the overall picture is not so great.
It's not so great, Matt, and without delving too much into the testing data on this, and there's a lot of it, let's just kind of consider two indicators. One of them is the actual ACT test, which every 11th grader in North Carolina takes. And it's an exam that gauges college readiness, okay? And if it also includes various benchmarks and subject areas, well, allows you to get an indicator of how ready a particular student is for college. If you look at the data, it's only about 31% of students actually met all the benchmarks, the ACT benchmarks, and being college and career ready. And so that's not good news. 31% of all 11th graders, that's not a good number. It's not a good number for anybody, and we really need to improve that. That's an indication that there are a number of things that need to change, and that you know, we need to review what we're doing and what we're not doing.
Okay, so again, kind of going back to what, like, what are we talking about numbers-wise here about, like, which, how students are ready, how many students are ready to go and be successful beyond high school? I mean, because we were talking beforehand about how it's, we're graduating more students, but we're not getting more students ready. What kind of, I guess, percentages are we looking at here? What are the big numbers, I guess?
Well, let's step back a little bit. Every year, the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction surveys students, high school, I believe it's seniors or juniors, regarding their intentions post high school. And 82% of respondents in 2015 said that they plan on either going to a 4-year or 2-year higher education institution, either a community college or a 4-year college. So if you stand back and look at, you know, what kids are planning on doing, the overwhelming majority, again, about 82%, said they plan on going to college, whether, again, 2-year or 4-year school. So that leaves about 18% that are either going into the work world, that will work immediately at a company or some of their business, or to go into the military. Those are usually the available options, and again, they run this survey just about annually, I think it is. And so the point is, you know, 8 out of 10 students say they're going to go to college. So the obvious question is, are we preparing kids, you know, to be able to seamlessly make that transition from high school to college? And I stated before, a number, well, the percentage of students that took the ACT exam that actually met all 4 benchmark areas, and it was 31%. Now, if you actually go down lower in the grade levels, like the EOC and EOG exams, and of course the end of grade exams, you find out that problem is not limited to the higher grades. Only 49% of all the students taking EOC and EOG exams scored at the proficiency or higher level, which is basically an indicator of whether or not the test takers are ready for college.
But we're graduating these students. I mean, so a third, that's just under a third.
That's right. That's the problem, is we're graduating students. And in fact, the Department of Public Instruction trumpets our four-year graduation rate, and that it's at an all-time high, which is about 86.5% right now, which means 4 years after a freshman class, approximately 86-87% of students that came in as freshmen graduate 4 years later. That's what the 4-year graduation rate means. Now, parents and everyone else wants to think that when you graduate, it means that you're immediately ready for the next challenge, the next step in your education or step in your work career. And today we're focusing on education, and what we're saying here is, based on the test data and a lot of other figures, we're graduating people, but they're really not ready for the next step.
So are they finding success in colleges, or, I mean, it's, do they adjust as needed? I mean, do we have any kind of data on what happens to them after they leave? I mean, and I think that would be a hard thing to maybe collect, but especially people go out of state, people go and do different things, people take different paths to get to where they're going to end up with their degree.
Well, but there are ways of tracking success, and one of the things that North Carolina tries to do, and a lot of states, try to do is obviously get a handle on how well students do after they leave. One of the ways of gauging college readiness is, you know, is trying to identify or trying to track, do students need remediation classes? In other words, are they well enough prepared for, say, math or English classes that they can step in right away and take freshman English classes, freshman math classes, and not have to kind of backfill in areas where they might not have been exposed to, might not have the competencies that colleges and universities assume that students have. So remediation rates are one way of gauging that college readiness. And nationally, the U.S., not only North Carolina, but the U.S. has had a problem with high numbers in that areas. And also, to be on both sides of this issue, there are some problems with getting valid numbers here. But if we just deal with the numbers that we've been working with nationally, remediation rates are probably anywhere between 45% of students that enter a four-year college or enter a two-year college, take either a math or an English course in order to move on to the next area. That's really a lot higher than most people expect. And it's an area that we've been trying to bring down. In North Carolina, about 4 years ago, if you look at some of this data, North Carolina had a four-year remediation rate of about 63%. Now, what that means is, and this was gauged for two-year community colleges, that meant that 60% of the freshmen enrolled in community colleges took either a math or an English class that was classified as developmental or remediation. So that's a class that allows you to move on in that particular subject, but it's required in order to move on. That's fairly high. That's a lot higher than most people want.
That's significant. You want the number to be zero. So
that's correct.
That's a significant number.
And that number has been coming down. Now, we'd like to think, if you look at the data and watch the figures that are published every year, you'll notice that it's coming down. It went from about 60 to 40 to 30. And most recently, Terry Stoops, my friend at John Locke, had reported earlier this month that number is actually 25%. Now, in other words, one in four students instead of, you know, almost the two out of three students are taking remediation classes. Now, I would like to think that that's come down because our preparation and our students are performing better academically, but unfortunately, that's not the case. The reduction is due more to policy changes. In other words, what's been happening is the requirements for actually taking remediation classes has been changing. And in other words, if you took classes in math, 4 years worth of math 1 year and graduated, you're not required to actually be in the pool for remediation. So what's been happening is the available pool of students that have to actually be remediated is shrinking. So that number, the percentage in remediation classes, is actually going down. So that's one way that I think we're kind of scamming the system and producing better numbers. But if you actually look behind the numbers, we're not producing better students.
So, I mean, is it a problem of focus? Is it a focusing on getting the graduation rate up for high schools without worrying about the quantity of the graduates, not the quality? I mean, where are we breaking down? And you're saying that it's not just starting right at the top, that looking back in grades earlier, there's an issue. So where are we going off track?
Well, there's a lot of pressure right now, internally you know, within North Carolina, even externally, in the country, to really improve our graduation rate for a lot of reasons, whether they'd be economic, social, you know, personal, whatever. We need to be able to get kids through school, get them either in college or have them be able to start out in a work life and be contributing productive citizens. I don't think any of us will argue with that. If you look at our high school graduation rate about as recently as 10 years ago, it was in the high 60s, which means that almost 40%, 35-40% of our students, you know, that started out as freshmen didn't graduate in 4 years. Many of those didn't graduate in 5 years. Now, thankfully, we've improved on that, and there's been an effort to do so. But I think in our haste to do so, there's been a lot that's been sacrificed. And what we're talking about today is some of that. That even though the numbers improve, the college readiness has not.
Which, I mean, then you're missing out there, and just that's the whole point.
Right.
We're not trying to create high school graduates so much so
we're
as trying
to
have create
educated contributing citizens. And I hope that some of this discussion and realizing that we seem to be obsessed with the numbers and not obsessed with, you know, the actual qualities that a graduate has when they come out, and making sure that they can contribute, you know, that they can find their way in life, that they can, you know, have the skills to be a contributing member of society. That focus, I think we need to refocus on that, not to lose sight of, you know, overall numbers, but obviously there has to be kind of a reframing and kind of a refocusing on the qualities, you know, and making sure that our graduates have the competencies, the character, the skills that they need when they either go to work or enter higher education, and not have the problems, you know, that we see today, because far too many of them lack that, because we seem to be too concerned or overly concerned at making sure we get kids through the door and out into college or the workforce. And that's a problem that really needs to have solutions, and have solutions soon.
And do they partially just expect that they'll go to college and then they'll pick up the slack in college? College will pick up what they've missed out on. Is there some expectation of that?
Well, I think if you look at the problem in the whole education pipeline, it just gets moved from one level to the other. Colleges hope that high schools, you know, will improve the problem. High schools hope that, you know, middle schools and elementary schools will improve the problem, and things just keep getting pushed down the line. I mean, it's a complicated problem, obviously, and we can't. I mean, I don't mean to imply that we lay all these problems, you know, at the school door, because there are many factors involved here. But obviously, if we're talking about, you know, what's the responsibility of schools, what's the stated responsibility, we should, you know, have the expectation that when someone graduates from high school, they should be able to enter college or the workforce and be able to function productively. That's not unreasonable. I think most parents expect that. Most taxpayers expect that. When we look at the numbers that we're looking at today and what we're talking about, that should send alarms everywhere. And we need to address these problems. We need to know not only that we've got serious problems with with trying to educate kids in the right way, but you know, we've done bad things in trying to cover up these problems with changes that we've done on remediation rates. And I think we've trumpeted a lot of these high school graduation improvements. You know, they've been kind of hollow Pyrrhic victories, because if you look underneath, you know, our kids don't have really what they need when they get out. Now, they may be included in a number, but if you look closely, I don't think there'd be a lot of people that would disagree with me.
Right, and whenever we talk about this sort of topic, I think about someone who is an acquaintance, I would say, and when I was in college, he was not in college. He was in the town, and he had graduated high school and he was working somewhere or another. I don't know where, but he literally could not read. He did not know how to read. Had gone through the entire school system, getting pushed on to the next grade, to the next grade, to the next grade. Never had been held back a grade. Had a high school diploma and could not read. And that still just, even to this day, just astounds me that you could be in that situation where you would not have someone along the way who put their foot down or had the ability to and said, we have to fix this. We have to stop this now. I mean, they just pass the torch, pass it on, pass the buck over and over and over and over on up the line. And that's not someone who maybe isn't college ready or it doesn't quite have it all the way there. Or maybe need some help in this area. This person fundamentally, they cannot read. They cannot really function in society. You can't pay your taxes if you can't read. Above and beyond learning how to pay your taxes, you can't if you can't read.
You can pay your taxes if you don't read. If you can't read, you can't do a lot other much else, you know. But in fact, I remember, when I was in Washington in the mid 80s, there was a story that erupted there of a Washington Redskin player. I forget his name, but the story was, he came forth. He was a fairly popular player, and he came out and admitted to the public he could not read, and it became quite a story. And he was, you know, I think at the time a millionaire. I mean, he was very well paid, obviously functioned and so forth, but he just came forth, you know, to highlight the plight and also to kind of unmask, you know, the problems he's had, because obviously in any field you have to be able to read.
Yeah, he essentially would only be as successful as he was in sports because people covered it up, I'm sure. I mean, it's, we can get into what I think, you know, yeah, the North Carolina, UNC North, you know, Chapel Hill, all that sort of thing. And
but you bring up secret of, you bring up a good point, Matt, mm-hmm, in that there are massive pressures to move kids along from each level. There are pressures on principals to get students in and out of grades, you know, because their poor performance is based oftentimes on numbers. They don't want to hold kids back. There are pressures amongst principals or on principals to move students along. Oftentimes they think, well, if you hold a student back, you're going to stigmatize them and they're going to alienate them from their peer group. Well, the other side of that is you oftentimes think that you will help them more because they will be able to function, they'll have mastery of the subject, et cetera, et cetera. So, and that's a lively debate amongst educators. It's not a lively debate amongst most parents, though, because most parents think that in the long run, if a kid does not have the necessary skills and academic background to go on to the next level, most parents think he should be held back and that you're doing the child a service by doing that, because oftentimes what happens is when you get passed on, the problems are just compounded.
Right. And I mean, it's just so, I guess, far removed a topic for me or for you, for someone who hasn't experience that, that it, it's hard for us to kind of, it's hard for me to accept the idea that there's people who are so ill prepared and
it is. And it's, I think it's shocking to people to understand that we do have kids that are graduating that are like that and they're ill prepared. And we, and I'm going to put on my commentary hat here, we're doing a disservice to kids to move them along to the next level, whether it be grade school to high school or high school to college. We need to shine a light on this, and we need to change it. We need to improve it so that kids, when they graduate, they have the mental faculties, they have the background, they have the preparation they need so that they can step into the level that they need to be at and not take 2-3 years additional because they don't have the background.
Right. I mean, we're setting them up for massive, massive failure. And in doing so, we're putting this drain on our system, on public assistance programs. I mean, if you pass through a student who cannot read, literally cannot read, cannot be successful to their potential, that their apparent potential, and then they fall onto public assistance because they haven't been given the tools to be successful because no one said, stop, hold up, let's grab this problem and let's fix it now so that Timmy can be successful going forward. You are hurting society, hurting ourselves, but on a personal, singular person level, you're taking away or putting a huge roadblock, number of roadblocks, in the way of this person's future and potential by not standing up for them and saying, we need to fix this so Timmy can read.
That's the challenge. That's the challenge, is having the wherewithal, having the courage, having the resources to say, we're not going to keep doing this. Because there are costs involved. There are many pressures, you know, to just keep moving kids through the system. I mean, we all see them. Nobody wants to be held back. But you're not doing a child a favor by moving them along, and you're making a sham of the entire educational system, and that's what we have to change.
Definitely. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Matt. Happy Thanksgiving.
You as well. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you, Bob, for coming on the show and talking with us about what's going on in your neck of the woods, in a way, and what's going on really for all of us in the state when it comes to getting our students ready for college, getting them ready to go on to whatever that next step is, whether that next step is going to be going into right into the workforce, going and enlisting in the military, or going to an associate's program, a vocational program, or going to a 4-year degree, which then leads to graduate, you know, postgraduate level degrees. But it really comes down to, it seems like for us, focusing on the quantity of graduates has really hurt us when it comes to the quality of the students we're putting out. And that is just something that's not going to work. I mean, we talked about how the expectation seems to be that the next step will take care of the issue. The next person will take care of the issue. Just passing the buck on and on and on, until you have this huge, great, big bear of a problem that someone is going to have to grab by the collar and handle. And hopefully those legislators or those educators are coming up in our system, and those policymakers are coming up in our government to really get a handle on this issue and make sure things are and right this ship again. But again, thank you to Bob. Thank you to you, the listeners. Make sure you're subscribing to the show. Do that by searching What Matters in North Carolina, where you listen to the show, on whether it's on the Android system or the Apple systems. You can go to check out the other shows on the archive on freedomactionnetwork.com. And also, I want to talk about our call-in line real quick. If you want to call into the show and leave a message for us, keep it clean and concise, something you want to talk about, something you want us to talk about, or something that we did talk about and you want to make comments on that we may revisit, just do that at 919-747-8063. Again, that's 919-747-8063. And we'll catch you next time.